Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in, came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given thee the hand of Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compress the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do six times. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram horns. And on the seventh day shall compress the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they shall have a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up everywhere, and every man straight before him."
Most of us here tonight are real familiar with the city of Jericho and how that the walls fell down flat and every man went up straightway. That is, he didn't have to look for a hole in the wall. The walls all the way around the city fell down and every man went into the city and they took the city. But when we look at this great city, the city of Jericho, a walled city, walls served a purpose. The purpose of the walls was to indicate the strength of the city, keep the enemy out. The larger, the thicker, and sometimes they had multiple walls, the greater fortification that the city had. As you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 13 and in verse 28, there the writer says, "Howbeit the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there." The point I want you to see just here is that the spies are sent in, and the report comes back, and here are some who say, "Well, we can't do that. We can't do that because the cities are well fortified. They have great walls round about them. And so we can't take the city or the land." And as you turn further in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, the third chapter. In Deuteronomy, the third chapter, in verse 5, there it tells us all these were cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars beside the unwalled towns, a great many. What we're learning is that in the land where the Israelites were to go, there were great walls. And these walls indicated security. They indicated protection and so forth. And here is one city, the first of the land of conquest, as we read about the city of Jericho. It was prophesied, as was read in your hearing just a moment ago, from Joshua chapter 6, that you are to march around the city once each day. Thus shalt thou do for 6 days, and the walls shall fall down flat. Now that was the instruction. Here it was prophesied. Here's what's going to happen if you do this. Now when we read further in the text, dropping down to verse 16, it says, "It came to pass the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for Jehovah hath given you the city." In verse 20 it continues, "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Here's what's prophesied. Here's what's going to happen. And then here is what happened. The walls fell down. But you know, there's another city that we read about in the Bible that also was greatly fortified. It had walls that were tall and tremendous and wide and so forth. A well-structured city on the top of a hill. And the prophecy was that if you do not do what I say, I will destroy you and the walls will fall. I want you to turn your Bible to this somewhat obscure text in relation to the falling of the walls of the city of Jericho, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we sometimes read chapter 28 through chapter 30, and we call it the blessing and the curses, and that's right. You're blessed if you do what I say, and you'll be cursed if you don't. And we see that amplified in verses 1 through verse 19. But in this text of Deuteronomy 28, I want to drop over to verse 47 and read a couple of verses. And then we'll drop down to verse 52. In verse 47, it says, "Because thou servest not Jehovah thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies that Jehovah shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." Drop down to verse 52. "And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all the land. And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all the land which Jehovah thy God hath given thee." Now there's the threat. Here's what's going to happen. If you don't do what I say, then it doesn't matter where you are, the walls are going to come tumbling down. But as we turn over just a little bit further to the 30th chapter, quite an impressive text. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, begin the reading at verse 11. "For this commandment which I command thee this day is not too hard for thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, and make us to hear it, that we may do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, and make us to hear it, that we may do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mightest do it. See, I set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and all his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in the land whether thou goest in to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto this day that ye shall surely perish. Ye shall not prolong your days in the land, whether thou passest over the Jordan to go in to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed, to love Jehovah thy God, to obey his voice, and to cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Jehovah sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Now that's not a hard passage. It's very simple. I'm giving you a commandment. It's not over there, it's not in the heavens, it's not across the sea, it's in your heart. I've given it to you. And all you have to do is just love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what you need to do. Keep his commandments. If you do, I'll bless you. If you don't, I won't. Now, isn't that simple? Now, that's what the Lord told me. And it pertained to the land as a whole. But as you turn further in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you read of the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In 2 Chronicles 26, reading beginning in verse 15, 2 Chronicles 36. That didn't look right. 36, beginning in verse 15. There it says, "And Jehovah the God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of Jehovah arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or virgin, old man or hoary-headed. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Jehovah, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and devoured all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away into Babylon. And they were servants unto him and his sons, and until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths, for as long as it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. 7 years of captivity in the land of Babylon. But what we read in this last chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles is the fall of the city of Jerusalem. Their great walls would fall, and the Babylonians would take their city. Now, perhaps we haven't studied as much about the fall of the city of Jerusalem as we have about the fall of the walls of the city of Jericho. But there are some fabulous comparisons between these two episodes. And I think we would do very well if we would compare these two cities and the fall of these two walls. I think it's important for us to begin in our study to see where these places are located. Here's Jericho, and you see, because of its strategic location, as they would forge the river here, the river of Jordan, at the place where the Israelites encamped, called Gilgal, we know that the city of Jericho was the first fortified city that was east of the Jordan River. That simply means that the city of Jericho stood as somewhat of a fortress from those who would invade from this direction. And as they did so, it was a great city, a well-fortified city. But God said, if you don't keep my commandments, I'm not going to be with you. Now, I want you to look on this chart. When we see the city of Jericho, this is the chart that you're familiar with. Most of you should have this. And if you don't, it's on our website. It's in our history and geography study. So you should have this. And if you say, well, I can't see that, well, just listen, and I'll tell you what's written there. There's the land of Canaan entered under the leadership of Joshua. Most scholars think that occurred in the neighborhood of 1400 B.C. But as we travel down the path of time, here we read of the reign of King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. And then we come to the death of Solomon, where his son Rehoboam became king. And we read then about the kingdom dividing. The kingdom divided, and then we begin to read about some good kings and bad kings in the land of Judah. Of course, as we look to the north, we see that they all had only bad kings. And in 722, the kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrian kings. But this brings us to the fall of the walls of the city of Jerusalem and the conquering of that city, 586 B.C., about 814 years later than the conquering of the city of Jericho. Now, that's a long time to occur for us to begin to compare the falling of these walls, but I think it's just fascinating, one, to see what happened between these two cities. Let's compare them. Why did the walls fall? Why did the walls of Jericho fall? Well, as we turn over into the New Testament, in that great chapter on faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 30, it tells us that by faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been compassed about for 7 days. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. Well, what about Jerusalem? Way down the pike now, some over 800 years, the walls around the city of Jerusalem fell. Well, why? But it wasn't because of faith. It was because they didn't believe. It was because of their lack of faith. You remember we read back over in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses led them during this period of wilderness wandering, before they ever were led into the land of promise under the leadership of Joshua. In the chapter we read, chapter 28, drop down to the verses, verse 49, where there it says, Jehovah will bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, and shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground until thou be destroyed. Thou that also shall not leave thee grain, new wine, nor oil, the increase of thy cattle, or the young of thy flock, until they have cause thee to perish. And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherein thou trustest. Now Moses said that way back before the city of Jericho was ever conquered. And who's he saying it about? He's talking about the city of Jerusalem. Way down the pike in time, when Jerusalem would fall to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonian Empire. Now I want you to turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. I want to look at a number of passages here in Jeremiah. In fact, more than what we have on the board. But if you look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 10 through verse 13 to begin with. Here the text tells us, "Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not the full end. Take away her branches, for they are not Jehovah's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith Jehovah. They have denied Jehovah and said, It is not He. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them." You see what he's saying? Here the people have said that we can do anything we want to and nothing's going to happen to us. Everything's going to be fine, even though we deny the Lord, all is well. And then in verse 30 and 31, it says, "A wonderful and horrible thing has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Jeremiah is talking about the condition that existed in Judah, specifically in the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the southern kingdom. And if you'll drop down further, he tells us why. Why does such a pitiful condition exist? In verse 10 he says, "To whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is become unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the wrath of Jehovah. I am weary with holding in. Pour it out upon the children in the streets, upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned into others, their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith Jehovah." Let's pause in the reading. Note, if you would, how that Jeremiah tells them just exactly what Moses told them way back during the time of the wilderness wandering. Almost word for word. And if you look at verse 13, further reasons, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my people, slightly saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. They were not ashamed when they had committed abomination, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Where is the good way? "And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken." You see the attitude possessed by these people. We're not going to do what God says. Now, whereas the Israelites during the days of Joshua were instructed to march around the city once each day for 7 days, and on the seventh day you march 7 times, and the priests blow on the horns, and the people shout, and the walls will fall. And now we find that during the days of Jeremiah, as we look at the city of Jerusalem, the appeal is made to the people. You need to be faithful to the Lord if you're going to be blessed. But if you're going to pursue this course, you'll be destroyed. And they say, we'll do what we want to. Do you see a lack of faith on their part? You see then why they were destroyed? As you come over to the 16th chapter, read beginning in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 16. "And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, that they will say unto thee, Wherefore hath Jehovah pronounced all this great evil against them?" Why did he do that? "Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Jehovah our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Jehovah, and have walked after other gods and served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken me and have not kept my law. And ye have done evil more than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the stubbornness of his own heart, so that ye hearken not unto me. Therefore will I cast you forth out of this land, into the land that ye have not known, neither ye nor your fathers. And ye shall serve other gods night and day, for I will show you no favor. Now look at verse 14. Therefore behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that it shall no more be said, as Jehovah liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But as Jehovah liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the countries wherewith he hath driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I have given unto their fathers. What's he saying? Well, the prophet Jeremiah is telling them the time will come when folks won't be saying, here's the land of Israel, the people of Israel that God brought up out of the land of Egypt. No, sir. The time will come when what they'll be saying is, this is the God that's bringing them out of captivity wherever he scattered them. Of course, their question is, why is all this going to happen? He tells them, because you wouldn't listen. You didn't believe what I told you. Told you it was coming. You wouldn't listen. You continued to worship other gods and serve them. Now, here are the consequences of what you've done. As you turn also to the prophecy of Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation, in chapter 4, reading beginning in verse 11. Lamentation chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it says, Jehovah hath accomplished his wrath. He hath poured out his fierce anger, and he hath kindled a fire in Zion, that is in Jerusalem, which hath devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth believe not, neither all the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy would enter into the gates of Jerusalem. When you look at all the nations round about the kingdom of Judah and outside, particularly the city of Jerusalem, they said, nobody can take Jerusalem. But they were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. You see, the people that resided in Judah, and particularly in Jerusalem, they didn't believe God anymore. But what's the application of that? John tells us, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that our faith has overcome the world. Faith is the victory, we sometimes sing in the song. But when we talk about victory, we're talking about victory over sin. But we can be victorious over sin only to the extent that we do what God says and believe what He has said. As you turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 10, again a familiar text to you, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You believe that? It doesn't matter what Satan cast at me. If I stand in the things that God has prepared for me, then I can be the victor. You believe that's so? Well, you see, that's what Moses was trying to tell those folks. You do what God says, believe what He says, and you'll be fine. And they went into the promised land. They believed what God said. They marched around the walls just like God said, and the walls of the city of Jericho fell. But brethren and friends, just because we at one time believe what God said doesn't punch our ticket. That doesn't mean we're always going to believe God. Because we see that generation after generation passed, and it brings us to the time of Jeremiah, and they didn't believe God anymore. And because they didn't believe what God said anymore, they're worshiping everything that they want to in any way that they want to, and they've got prophets, priests, and kings telling them, do what you please, there'll be no consequence. And the Lord said, there will be consequence. The walls will fall. And the walls of the city of Jerusalem fell, and they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians. Now, why did the walls fall? Let's look at Jericho again. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, we've noted that the walls fell because they believed what God said. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been compassed about for 7 days. Now, underscore that in your thinking. You see, the walls of Jericho didn't fall just because they believed they would. The walls of Jericho fell because they did what God said. Now, we might look at that and say, oh, how foolish. What a ridiculous thing to think that a city can fall like that. No city in times gone by has ever fallen by people walking around it or marching around it. Well, the city of Jericho did. We might look at that and say, well, that's foolish. But what did the people do? They did just exactly what God said. Now let's look over and see how the people of Judah behaved that resulted in the falling of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Again, we look at the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 16, Jeremiah chapter 16, in verse 11, Jeremiah 16, specifically in verse 11. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Jehovah, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. What did they do? Well, they didn't obey God. Now, their predecessors over here that took the city of Jericho, they did what God said. Now we've got the citizens of Jerusalem. They're not doing what God said. You won't keep my law, God said. And in the sixth chapter, we noted, in verse 15 through verse 17, they committed every kind of sin and were not ashamed, neither could they blush. And then when the Old Testament prophet called upon them to return to the Lord, they said, we will not, won't do it. Now, what does that tell us their attitude is? Whereas those who were marching around the city of Jericho, they believed what God said and they committed themselves to do it. But by the time we are reading in the book of Jeremiah and Lamentation, and we'll look at Ezekiel, who was also a captive among those of the southern kingdom in the land of Babylon. Well, they weren't doing what God said. And that's why the walls of Jerusalem fell. They were disobedient. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel. And look at Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 33, begin at verse 20. Ezekiel 33, verse 20. There the text tells us, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, I will judge you, everyone, after his ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one had escaped out of Jerusalem, came to me saying, the city is smitten. What's happening? Oh, man. The city's in trouble. Well, why? Because they're doing as they please. Drop down, if you will. I'm in the wrong verse. Drop down, if you will, to verse 30 through 32. It says, and as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls, and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Jehovah. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. Does that sound familiar? You'll read something similar to that in Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus' disciples have eaten without washing their hands. And he rebukes the Pharisees. He said, you talk good things. You worship me with your mouth. But in vain, he said, do you worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Well, the point I want you to see is, the children of Israel during the days of Joshua, they did what God said. The children of Israel during the days of Jeremiah didn't. Now, can you think of any application of that? Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Or, as we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Randy, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. In Hebrews 2, verse 9 tells us that Christ is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey Him. Isn't that simple? James chapter 1, as we read this morning, not to just be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his doing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse 8, here were some who disobeyed the commandments of God. And what does Paul write about them? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, he said, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Vengeance coming upon them. Well, why? They didn't do what God said. They didn't do what God said. Now, is there a lesson in that for us somewhere? I believe that there is. I think we can learn from these two walls that fell. Well, let's look at Jericho again. The setting of that. Go back to the book of Joshua. As we go back to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is instructed that he's going to be the one who will lead the people in, and God called upon Joshua to do everything I tell you to do. Indeed. Well, in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua is preparing these people to go into the promised land, to cross over the Jordan River. And we know in this text that he tells them that you're going to see something that you've never seen before. In verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you." What's he going to do? Well, you're familiar with the text. We know that the waters of the Red Sea are going to part, and the people are going to cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land. Again, verse 5, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will show wonders among you." Well, we know that's just exactly what happened as we read over a little bit further into the latter part of the third chapter. They went across on dry ground. But after they get across, after they crossed, in the fifth chapter, I'll get it right, hopefully. In verse 8 it says, "It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the nation, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of that place was called Gilgal unto this day." This was the first encampment of the children of Israel in the promised land after they crossed over into the Jordan River. And they are instructed to circumcise those who have not been circumcised as yet. And the reason for that was God would put away the impurities, if you please, or the reproach of Egypt that was upon them. So when they came into the promised land, having crossed over the Jordan, taking the city of Jericho, as we see in the sixth chapter, they are a purified people. Do we see that? And now roll your clock forward. And what do we read about the time of Jeremiah? In the book, once again, of Lamentation, in the first chapter and in verse 8, it says, "Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she has become an unclean thing. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness was in her skirts. She remembered not the latter end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. But she hath no comforter. Behold, I, O Jehovah, my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself." What's the condition of the people now during the time of Jeremiah? Well, they're not pure. They have defiled themselves with everything imaginable. They're worshiping idols and doing as they please. Now, what did Isaiah say that would be the consequence of that kind of behavior? We often quote from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 in particular, to note that sin separates a man from God. That's what it does. Now, could Israel, or Judah in this case, continue to participate in the worship of idols and God be pleased with them? Oh no, he'd already told them time and time and time before, "You do that and I'll destroy you." Well, now the time has come. In the book of Zephaniah, in the third chapter of Zephaniah, I want us to look beginning at verse 1, just to see how polluted these people have become. It says in verse 1, "Woe to her that is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in Jehovah, she drew not near to her God. Her princes in the midst of her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves, they leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons, her priests have profaned the sanctuary and have done violence to the law." You want to tell me God's pleased with these folks? We're reading about the leaders of the people of Israel in the land or in the city of Jerusalem. This is what they're doing. They have defiled themselves even in their leadership. The princes, the priests, the prophets, they're all doing wrong things. Now, is there a lesson to be learned from that? Look at what happened when they came into the land and conquered the city of Jericho. They were a purified people and they were victors. But when they begin to defile themselves with the sins of those about them and worship and serve idols, they were defiled and God turned against them and the city was to be destroyed. Now, where's the lesson? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 17, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." What does God want us to be? You see, it's not enough just to become a Christian. He expects us to remain pure from the defilements of the world. We see that described in 1 Peter chapter 2, and particularly in 2 Peter chapter 2, where he talks about those who learn the truth and they return to the practices of the world. And he even sets forth an illustration that it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. God wants us to be pure, but He wants us to remain pure, not like the people of Judah. Now, why did the walls fall? Let's look again at Jericho. Turn back, if you will, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 6, the instructions were, in verse 2, "See, I have given thee, or into thy hand, the city of Jericho, and the mighty king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the priest shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark on the 7th day. Ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets," and so forth and so on. "And when all that occurs and the people shout, the walls will fall down." Now let's just see you do that, Randy, with 600,000 soldiers. Let's see you join that group of soldiers. Why? You're one of 600,000. And you're going to walk around this city once each day. And you're going to do it every day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, you're going to do it 7 times. Now what I want to see here is that's not going to be pleasant. That's going to require something of you, very difficult, to march around this city so many times. In other words, we have on the board self-denial. It might be something that you wouldn't otherwise want to do, but that's what God said to do. And they believed God, and so they did that. I have on the board as well about Naaman. You remember when the prophet told Naaman, "If you want to be clean of your leprosy, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and your flesh will come again like the flesh of a little child." And Naaman got angry. He was angry. Well, notice, if you will, the distinction here. Naaman got angry with instructions that seemed ridiculous to him. But the children of Israel went right into the land, and they marched around that city. It doesn't indicate that there was anyone that argued with those instructions. They did just exactly what God said, and the walls fell. A very unpleasant task. Can you imagine the heat and the dirt and the dust and all that was involved in 600,000 people walking around or marching around the wall? But they did just that. And when you come to the fall of the walls around the city of Jerusalem, we've mentioned or used the expression a number of times, they did what they wanted to. When you turn to the book of Ezekiel, remembering that Ezekiel was one of these captives among the common folks in the land of Babylon. And he writes in Ezekiel chapter 7, beginning in verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 19. "They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be as an unclean thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Jehovah. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it hath been a stumbling block in their iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things therein. Therefore have I made it unto them as an unclean thing, and I will give it unto the hand, or into the hand of the strangers for prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall profane it. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall profane my secret place, and robbers shall enter into it and profane it." You know what happened to the city of Jerusalem? The Babylonians came into the city having conquered the wall, the walls no longer serving to fortify the city. The Babylonians came into the temple, and they profaned the temple. You know what they did with all the wealth that was in the temple? They took it. And you know what they did with it? They fashioned it into images of their false gods. They profaned it. Now what did God tell them is going to happen? Because you've indulged yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's fine. No reason to be concerned. Zephaniah, once again, Richard, I say that because years ago I was looking for a passage in Zephaniah, and I turned to Zechariah, and it just wasn't the same. But in Zephaniah chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Jehovah's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, and he will make an end, yea, a terrible end, of all them that dwell in the land." Now we know what was a common practice during this time. If you have an enemy that's about to defeat you, you buy help from another nation. You send them gold and silver. Well, that's not altogether new, is it? We do that today, don't we? And that's what they did. But God said, "When my wrath is poured out upon you, your gold and silver is not going to help you. There's not going to be anybody that can be bought to help you. But rather, your gold and your silver and all your riches are going to be taken by the king of a foreign land." Now, can you think of any application of that? We've been studying even this morning about taking up your cross and denying self daily. Self-indulgence gets you in trouble. And so it was with the Ephesians, as we studied this morning, from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, the writer said, here's what you used to do. You don't return to those things. You don't practice those things. Right on down through the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We look at the need for self-control in James chapter 4. We've studied these things before. It isn't new. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Whence cometh wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye have not. Because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may spend it in your pleasures, ye adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" How much does it take for us to learn that message? When we talk about the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory, the pride of life, what's going to happen to those things? John said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, that's not going to last. Now, can't we learn the lesson of not putting our trust in those things? The people of Jerusalem didn't. And the walls fell. And when you compare the story of these two walls, what do you see? The walls of the city of Jericho, they fell by faith. They fell by obedience. They marched around. They purified themselves. And they denied themselves the luxuries and the pleasures that life had to offer. And they walked around those walls seven times, once each day, for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they did that seven times. And they did that because that's what God said. Now when you look at the walls of the city of Jerusalem, as Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, conquered that city and the walls fell, it was because they didn't believe God. It was because they didn't do what God said. It was because they defiled themselves with the evil practices of idolatry. It was because they indulged themselves in every way they thought pleasant. The walls fell. Walls fell. My friend, that was the condition that Nehemiah found them in. In Nehemiah chapter 1, as he made inquiry concerning the condition of the city of Jerusalem, and he was told the walls are in shambles. The gates are burned with fire. Now why did that happen? Well, because they didn't believe what God said. They didn't do what God said. Now back over a few moments ago, we looked at not this passage, but a similar passage from Deuteronomy chapter 11, where we talked about blessing and cursing We were in Deuteronomy 28 earlier. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, the thought is in a similar fashion presented to them, beginning in verse 26 of chapter 11. There it says, "Behold, I set before you in this day a blessing and a curse. The blessing if ye hearken unto the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you this day. And the curse if ye shall not hearken unto the commandment of Jehovah your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day and go after other gods which you have not known." That's simple, isn't it? Do what I say, I'll bless you. You don't, and I won't. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, in the 11th chapter and in verse 22, presents a similar choice that we have to make. He said, "Knowing therefore the goodness and severity of God." What's that? The goodness of God, yes, but also the severity of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 11, the same apostle went on to say, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuaded men." Now, friend, we've got a choice. Can we learn anything from the city of Jericho and the city of Jerusalem? We note that Jeremiah and Isaiah talked about a faithful remnant that would be brought back. They indeed would be blessed. Those in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews who had become Christians, very much stressed about being persecuted because they've become Christians. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 28, that you become a part of something that cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. What do they become a part of? They become a part of the kingdom of God. Now the safety, the wall, if you please, the fortification, is for the church. Now that's not once saved, always saved. But God has promised to become the Savior of those who remain faithful in His church. Isn't that simple? And that's the point. And that's the lesson that I want you to see as you compare the falling of these two walls. There are other walls in the Scripture that fell. And Juan, that might make a good sermon to talk about the walls that fell. But here are two walls that fell. The city of Jericho and the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jericho represented the day of victory in the history of Israel. The city of Jerusalem represented the day of defeat. And you see why. Perhaps I'm talking to one or more in the audience this evening who's not a Christian. Are there some lessons that you can learn simply by comparing two walls of things that you need to change about your life? To believe what God said. Turn from the things that are wrong. Confess your faith and be baptized into Christ. Commit yourself to obey Him. Perhaps you've started, but you, like Israel, you didn't continue. Other things have become more important to you. Can we not learn from the falling of the walls of the city of Jerusalem that that's not wise? That the blessings of God can be upon us if we continue to follow His commandments and do what He says. If we can help you to make your life right, then let us know. Come to the front while we stand together and sing this song.